Hey there, and welcome to another edition of On Mic with me, Jordan Rich, a podcast for and about voice actors, broadcasters, or anyone interested in the most fascinating of instruments, the human voice, and how we apply it and how we communicate with it. Don't forget to download, describe, rate, and review this podcast. We appreciate that. My guest today is Suzanne Bates. She founded her company, Bates Communications, back in 2000, following a very successful career as a TV news reporter and anchor. Suzanne's mission is to help leaders influence the world, offering consulting, executive coaching, and expertise in the field of presence and communications to a veritable who's who of top global companies. Her first book, published in 2005, was called Speak Like a CEO, Secrets for Commanding Attention and Getting Results. Since then, she's written several other best-selling books and has created what she calls the Bates Model of Executive Presence. Suzanne knows all about the power of the spoken word, and we are thrilled that she's here to share her thoughts with us today. First off, Suzanne, great to chat with you. Tell me about the broadcast TV career, where and how it all began for you.
I started my broadcasting career in Rockford, Illinois. I grew up in Illinois downstate, and you know, when I was starting in the business, there actually weren't very many women yet. It was the era when Jane Pauley had just left the Today Show, and companies, broadcast companies, were starting to look for women. And so I was the first woman reporter in Rockford, Illinois, on television. And then I was a first in the next couple of jobs. I was the first woman anchor in Madison, Wisconsin, and the first woman anchor in Tampa, St. Petersburg. And I know that sounds like a long time ago, but it really wasn't. There's so many women who are so successful on TV now. It's really been exciting to see what's happened in the business of broadcasting. Mm.
And, of course, you came to Boston, and most of us in this area remember you fondly from your days at WBZ-TV, certainly.
Well, what a great station, and I know you know because you're a WBZ alum as well, but WBZ is and always has been one of the top television and radio stations in the country, so I was so excited when I got the offer to come and work at first on the 5 o'clock news, live on 4 for those who remember that, and then, the morning news was really just coming into its own, and it was really fun to kind of pioneer that time of day. At the time, the top watched newscasts were in the evening, but during the time I was there, and all the stations saw this, there was a surge in morning viewing. Really, people moved over to watch news in the morning, which was really an exciting time to be doing that.
As I think back to those days, and I was a fan and watching you on television, I remember, again, people were so involved with local news and news gathering. And boy, times have changed with the internet and all the stuff that's happened since you sort of left there and became the Suzanne Bates of today. I mean, do you reflect at all on what it would be like today if you were starting out?
Well, I think it's harder today because there are so many stations and so many news outlets, and there's a lot of, if you will, broadcast noise out there. So it's an exciting time to be in the business in many ways because I see that what's happening is television is getting connected to everything else, to social media, and I think we're seeing the beginning of another kind of revolution in the industry. But I do say it was a lot of fun back in the day because there were only three stations, and people knew everybody on the stations. As a matter of fact, I was on Cape Cod over the weekend, and a guy walked up to me and he said, you know, I know you from somewhere, which is interesting because I retired from TV 17 years ago. But, you know, I said, oh, well, some people know me from WBZ. Oh, yeah, he says, Jack and Liz and Bob Lobel. And that's what people remember. They still remember the names of that kind of, if you want to call it, golden era. But right. I think there are going to be other golden eras, too.
Well, let's talk a little bit about what you've been doing for the last 17 years. And the reason I invited you on the podcast was twofold. One, I know of your broadcast excellence, but also because you've really become a leader in the field of development and helping people become better leaders. And one of the keys is a book called Speak Like a CEO. And that prompted this boot camp you have and all kinds of programs. And that's what I wanted to talk to you about, having not read the book, actually. But I'd like to know about the power of the voice and what you've discovered in teaching people how to use their voices, not only how they say it, but certainly what they say.
Well, you know, I think everybody knows that it's important, but it's how do I become the person I need to be on the stage or at the front of the room or even doing an interview like this. What I noticed when I left television and I started my company, Bates Communications, I was fortunate, privileged to get to work with senior leaders in some of the top companies in this region. And since then, you know, now we work with really some of the top companies in the world at the senior executive level. And what I noticed was that these leaders and coming leaders were being asked to speak, whether it's in front of the board or from the executive committee or really to their own teams at conferences. They were asked to do media interviews. They knew they needed to do it, but a lot of them avoided it because it wasn't fun for them, and they didn't understand how to really shine on stage. So when I wrote Speak Like a CEO, which came out in 2005, so it's more, well, 2006, so it's more than 10 years old now. Really what I was trying to do is convey some of the things that I had learned in television, but also as a professional speaker about how to command the room. And so it's really a primer, if you will, and I think it still holds up today on how to ace a speech or a media interview or a presentation. And, you know, it's, I think I've heard people say that they just follow the book formula, and, you know, they felt like they were so much better. And the course that we started, Speak Like a CEO, was really just to give people an opportunity to get up on their feet and be videotaped and use some of the methods that we have, like how to present a business case or how to tell a story. And, you know, it's just a little bit of investment, I think, sometimes. I mean, my message to anybody who either likes doing it but would like to be better at it or maybe isn't as good as they'd like to be is it does take an investment of time and energy. I mean, you remember this, Jordan, when Bill Clinton, who's regarded as one of the great connectors and great speakers, whatever you think of his politics, when he gave his first speech at, I can't remember which national convention it was, he was terrible.
1988, I remember.
Right.
Falling asleep.
Right. You get good by doing it and doing it right. And that's really what it's all about.
The message I'm getting from you then is that anyone can be, if you apply yourself, you can be taught skills to at least be better and achieve more. I mean, people really get frustrated and they're so fearful of making a mistake or being caught in public, whatever, that they don't even want to step over the line.
Yeah, you know, the first thing you should do is disabuse yourself of the notion that you can make a mistake, because audiences really are forgiving. They just, really what they want is they want to get your information. They want to hear what you have to say. And they know how hard it is to get up and make a presentation. So I do believe anybody can learn it. And I'll tell you something. When I got out of television, when I left TV and started my company and started doing more public speaking, not emceeing events, but actually going out and giving my own speeches on my own topics, I found it very intimidating because, and you might think that's funny, or you wouldn't because I know you do this, but It's very different to be talking into a camera and talking to a live audience, right? It's very intimidating to see all those faces staring back at you. And I'll remember, you know, right before I decided to start the business, I went to give a presentation at an executive education event. And, I mean, this was as low risk as it gets. There were probably going to be 6 people or 8 people in the classroom. And I was a nervous wreck walking in there the first time. You know, I really wasn't sure what it would be like. So I remember what that was like, my own journey to public speaking. And all I can say is that it really just requires an investment of time and energy and you know, willingness to experiment and a reason for doing it. You know, you got to be motivated. You got to have a reason for doing it.
Suzanne, you have all kinds of clients from all over the world, and many of them are younger, obviously. And I'm wondering if you're noticing a difference in the way the millennials or slightly older crowd communicate verbally, orally, because let's face it, this is a smartphone generation.
Well, I think there's some positive trends and not so positive trends, and people really, I think, know a lot about the not so positive trends. I went to the Forbes Women's Conference in New York a couple of months ago, and during the break, I looked over and I saw, really, it was mostly millennials, but it could have been, you know, people older too. During the break, and this is a networking event, looking down at their phones and their mobile devices and doing work. And I thought, wow, really, has it come to this that they're paying all this money to be at a fabulous convention with some of the top women in the world? And during the break, they're looking down at their mobile devices. So, I mean, good. We do have a challenge, I think, in our mobile society. We have become overly reliant on electronic communication. On the other hand, one of the things that I've noticed about the millennials here in our firm and elsewhere is they're very comfortable with different media. And what I mean by that is we're pushing a lot harder to use video now because, if you're in business, you know your customers are making the decision about you before they ever pick up the phone and call you. They're checking you out on LinkedIn. They're going to Facebook. They're watching videos. So if you have videos out there, that's a great way to engage. And, of course, that means you have to be able to, you know, handle the video media. So I think millennials are going to push us in some interesting ways to communicate in a more engaging and active way. So, you know, I think, you know, there's positives and negatives. And certainly every millennial is going to need to learn how to stand up and give a presentation because that's never, ever going to go out of style.
They say presentations begin when one picks up the telephone in a business and answers it with the business call sign. Do you actually get into that nitty-gritty with some of your clients? Because that can be the first person on the phone that you talk to could be the lead or the dud. It could go either way.
Well, that's really true, and the phone is an incredibly important tool of communication, especially with your clients and prospects. I know that because we work with national and international companies, it's rare that we get to meet people the first time we interact with them. So the impression that we make on them on the phone and through electronic communication is essential, absolutely essential to whether we're going to get to take the next step. So being well prepared for a call, having an agenda, knowing what you want to say, anticipating what people are going to ask, all of that I think is really important. I also think we could get away from the phone a little bit by using video technology more, and there's lots of video conferencing that's available now. And, you know, people shy away from it because they, of course, you have to have your hair combed and your jacket on, right? Maybe it requires a little more effort because you're going to have to engage people with eye contact, but it's also more effective. So I really think it's important to choose that when you have the opportunity to do so.
Could you give us an example of how one of your people, you don't have to mention a specific name, but maybe an example in general, how you came across a client that came to you for help and with some of the techniques, and maybe you could share a few of them, you were able to see growth and that client turned things around? I mean, just off the top, what you might have.
You know, one that leaps to mind for me is the CIO of a major consumer company, a global consumer company. And this fellow was a great guy, very engaging, and he was open to experimenting and innovating with his own way of communicating, especially with his team initially. So he was game to start video blogging, and he rigged up this camera, you know, over his computer, and it was a little harder to do it then, but, you know, he was just determined, and he came up with some really engaging topics, and he was pretty good off the cuff. He got better as he did more of them, but I'm telling you, this whole group in his technology team, which was hundreds and hundreds of people, really got engaged. They, you know, they would tune into them and they would listen to what he had to say, and it was really helping align the organization. What happened next is even more interesting. He moved then to a brand name technology company, one that everybody would know. And as a result of his investing in getting better at that oral verbal communication, and he had also worked on his stage presence, just being more engaging, telling stories, he was now being invited to go out across the world and address major conferences of their customers. And he became the liaison, if you will, moving out of technology, that really the liaison from technology to their customers, and they started to see him as somebody who was helping drive revenue. So, you really can't underestimate the power of engaging people this way. And that's one of, probably 1,000 examples I could give you.
It's often said that one can hear a smile. I can hear the smile in your voice. You're very excited about talking to me about what you do. And I think the smile is key. It's so amazing when you stop somebody and say, wait a minute, think about what you're saying. Why aren't you smiling? And they'll tell you that they are. And they're not. So I'm just wondering, and this is a sense that you have, obviously, having worked with hundreds of people and thousands of people along the way. the little things really do make a difference, such as the smile.
It's so true. Well, as I'm speaking to you now, I'm standing up in my office and I am smiling because that became a rule for me a long time ago. I mean, I interviewed thousands of people before I became someone who was interviewed, and I had the opportunity to coach a lot of them like you do. And, you know, one of the things that's just so important to understand is your energy level is everything. And if you're standing up and you have full command of your breath and you're able to, I'm gesturing right now as I'm talking to you. So I'm almost as if I'm talking to you in person. So in the camera's the same way. You know, if you look into the camera as if you're talking to a person rather than an inanimate object. And I know many of the people who listen already know this because they're professionals, but you can't ever forget to do that, to remember there's a person on the other side of the phone, there's a person on the other side of the camera that's watching you and listening to you, and it makes all the difference in whether you get more business, whether you get invited back to do another project. And, you know, I have friends in the voiceover business who've done incredibly well. I mean, someone who's the voice of one of the telephone companies right now. And, you know, that's just really a matter of her having honed her skills and worked hard at it and, you know, learned some of those techniques.
You mentioned interviews, and I'll close with this. Suzanne, you've done hundreds and thousands, as I have. When I go out and give my little talks to groups, often I bring up the subject of listening and how powerful that is to learn to really listen, not only to the person you're speaking with, but to yourself, to really do a little self-examination. How is my voice being perceived? How am I hearing it in my head? I would imagine that's an important facet to anybody in the business world trying to get ahead as well.
I would tell anybody who's in, whether you're in the professional business or whether you're in business, that it's real important to coach yourself. And the only way to coach yourself is to listen to yourself and watch yourself. When I was in television, when I was starting out and really throughout my career, I would take my videotapes, go into the editing room every night after the show, and I would watch what I did. And then I would watch, for me, it was the network newscasters, not to imitate them, but to see what I could learn from them that would help me develop my own authentic style, because it's very important to have your own authentic style. But I learned so much just because I didn't have coaches in the beginning, and a lot of us don't, and we don't get enough feedback. And so you need to have a group of people who are giving you feedback, but watching yourself and listening to yourself is one of the best ways to really get better.
And the great part of this whole thing, including the work you do, is it is an art form. It is something that is very particular human, that we are able to communicate the way we are. We're the only bipeds that do. And the fact that we can get better is simply by playing a role and practicing our instrument. It's fascinating to me.
Well, it really is. And that rule of 10,000 is so true. I mean, the more you do it, the better you get. Unfortunately, that hasn't worked for me in golf.
Well, I know someone very close to me just broke 100, and she thinks, you know, she's walking on air right now. So you know
who
that is.
I know who that is. And I have to say hats off to her. I only started playing 5 years ago, and I'm far from breaking 100.
What you're talking about is not just for the CEO out there. It's for anybody. Good food for thought on how to communicate and enjoy what life has to offer when you get your message across. I want to mention Bates-Communications.com. And you've had an amazing, successful business run now for 17 years, no stopping you. Is there anything else in your future that you'd like to do that hasn't been achieved yet, or what?
Well, you know what's exciting me right now is we're getting into doing research on executive presence. So we have an executive presence assessment now that we're using in corporations and with senior leaders. And what we're learning about the qualities of leadership that really matter, character, substance, and style is fascinating, and it applies to everything from how to grow your company to how to foster innovation in your company and how to lead high-performing teams. So that's the work I'm excited about now, and there'll probably be a fifth book out there somewhere in the future. I hope so. So that's what part of the future looks like for us.
Well, you communicated so beautifully, and thank you for taking time. You're one of the busiest people I know. To get you on a podcast, we have to do a lot of scheduling, and that goes to show you how busy you are. But thank you, Suzanne. It's really a pleasure, and I'll see you around town, as they say.
I'll see you around town. Thanks for the opportunity to talk with your listeners, and congratulations on your podcast.
My thanks to executive coach extraordinaire Suzanne Bates of Bates Communications. If you want to find out more on the web, it's Bates, B-A-T-E-S hyphen communications.com. Once again, Bates-Communications.com. You've been listening to On Mic with Jordan Rich, a podcast produced and hosted by Chart Productions, on the web at chartproductions.com. Hey, thanks for listening. Have a great day.
Shopify helps you sell at every stage of your business. Like that, let's put it online and see what happens stage.
And the site is live.
That we opened a store and need a fast checkout stage.
Thanks, you're all set.
That count it up and ship it around the globe stage.
This one's going to Thailand.
And that, wait, did we just hit a million orders stage? Whatever your stage, businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for your $1 a month trial at shopify.com/listen.